when you walk into the ring with the number one heavyweight of the world, you'll be ready, won't you? Why? Because I waited for 50 years to make you ready. You'll be able to spit nails, kid. Like the guy says, you're gonna eat lightning and you're gonna crap thunder. You're gonna become a very dangerous person.
Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Well, happy Easter to all you people out there. Whether it be morning, whether it be evening, whether it be noon, wherever you are in the world, if it hadn't already been Easter for you, it will be soon. It's like they do in one of my favorite old movies was MASH. As a matter of fact, I saw the original MASH. I was out of the Army at the time. But I remember because it came out kind of, 70, 71? But anyway, people, happy Easter to you. Again, I hope you had a good Friday yesterday. It's March 30th. This is the last Saturday in the month of March in which we will be broadcasting. And who are we? We are Blood River Radio. That's who you're listening to. You're listening to Blood River Radio. In case you're just tuning in, in case you're a new listener, my name is Eddie the Bombardier Miller. And I can't tell you happy Easter enough. It's a joyous day. It's a day. Some people get hung up on the title. Some people like to call it Easter. And, oh, you can't do it. They got to be Resurrection Day. And some people don't even believe in Easter because I was talking to Pastor Thomas Robb the other day. You'd be surprised how many Christians say, oh, Easter's a pagan holiday. What's a crock? I don't think Jesus raising from the dead on the third day is a crock. Anyway, people, leading up to that, also, I told you that this is Blood River Radio. My name is Eddie the Bombardier Miller. We're proudly syndicated nationwide, worldwide by Liberty News Radio and Sam Bushman's group. But we always say a prayer. This is a Christian radio show. And we always say a prayer, so I'll get to it. Almighty Father God, whether our people believe in Easter, whether they believe in Resurrection Day, it did happen. And like the Apostle Paul says, he don't place great emphasis on dates and times. What you do place emphasis on is there is Jesus Christ. This man, Jesus Christ, was his name. He was the Son of God. And he came down to earth at the command, at the request of his Father God. He came down here to save all of us sinners because we were really miserable sinners. We had died in our sin. And that's what Satan loved. But dear God, you know you beat Satan. We've already really won the victory because your son, Jesus, came down here and he paid the sin debt. He took the sins of the whole world upon his body. He was tortured beyond imagination, O Lord. He was hung on a cross. He was crucified. He died. He was buried. And you, oh Lord, you did raise him on the third day. And on that day, on the third day, when your son raised from the dead, that's what we call Easter. You can call it Resurrection Day. You can call it Hoopla Daddy Day. As long as you're getting the meaning, as long as whatever words you use, and I'm kind of paraphrasing Pastor Thomas Robb, and I agree, it's good. It's good to go. And we're not worshiping Easter eggs and the friggin' Easter bunny, oh Lord. You know that. But this prayer's for our people. Anyway, I would like to wish all of our people a happy Resurrection Day, a happy Easter Day tomorrow. It'll be tomorrow, folks. Anyway, and also, Lord, I would like to ask you to continue to bless Blood River Radio. Continue to let us make strides that we're making, however that be. However big that be, and Lord, if you will, continue to give us the grace, the wisdom, the strength, and the ability and the desire to do your will here on earth. And thank you again, oh Lord, for saving us. Thank you for saving us from death. You kill it by killing death forever when your son, Jesus Christ, rose from the dead. I ask all this in Jesus' name, amen. People, you know, we couldn't operate this radio program without donors. And we had several donors recently. And I'll start off with Old Biscuit. Yes, sir. Old Biscuit for sure. He is a stellar, comes in like clockwork, and he makes a great sacrifice to keep us going. And I love that guy, Biscuit. He's like a much, much younger brother. I told him that our mother had a baby when she was 60 years old. And that's anyway, we joke about that. So thank you, Biscuit, for your continuing to support Blood River Radio. And also, another guy y'all heard me talk about, Lynn from Leo, old Big Ben from Lynbrook, New York. Excuse me, Ken from Lynbrook, New York. Big Ben, Ken, Big Ben. Thank you so much. I've said it before, but I'm going to say it again. Ken's kind of a mysterious guy. I would love to meet Ken sometime. The next time up there, if I get to run the New York Marathon again, I'm going to try to find out where Lynbrook is. I'm going to go see if I can see him. We also have Paul. I'm going to give his last name because I don't know. He might not want me to. Paul from Princeton, West Virginia, sent a nice donation. In fact, thank you so much for that, Paul. But anyway, without these people, and also I'd like to take this opportunity to thank all our donors that call in. And each time we get a donation, I always try to announce that person's name over the air if I have permission, because I really honor those people. And I really, really love that. Anyway, people, thank you so much, donors. Also, here's the notes. Some big things may be happening for Red River. Bigger may be happening to Blood River. I met with a representative of Turning Point USA yesterday. I had lunch with him. And we talked about things we could do together, some operations we could do to combine our forces, work together. We're going to help them. They're going to help us. I'm really optimistic about that. I'm really excited about it. If it unfolds like we think it will, I think it'll really help Blood River, and I think we'll help them. It would greatly expand our audience. So I'm really, really looking forward to it. Just keep praying that this association works out. I really think it would help us a whole lot. Anyway, okay. What else we got going here? I talked to Miss Ann Elizabeth again. In fact, I ate with her one day last week, and she's from Turning Point USA. She's coming back. She doesn't know when. She wants to go back to the University of Memphis. And I said, I would love to go too, because I've been trying to get an audience with the president out there for over a week now. And what a shocker. I hadn't been able to get in there. You know, maybe I should have used a fake name. But I want to get in there and talk about what went on with Kyle Rittenhouse. You all know about that. We did a show on that, about a week or so ago. And it's really disgusting what went on out there. But these people from, you know what, these people from Turning Point, Ann Elizabeth being one of them, well, she was the main one, they got a real dose. They got a real dose of what it's like, what these riders are like, what these animals, feral animals are like. So anyway, keep Blood River Radio. Keep us in prayers. Keep us in prayers that will unfold and we'll do good. That we can service, we can grow stronger and serve more of our people. Well, folks, here's a quick outline. We had one guest, but we decided to go ahead and get Fred Leutcher. You all know Fred Leutcher. I've got his the Leutcher Report in my safe. I wouldn't take anything for it. He's going to be on with his fiance, Mona, Miss Mona. She's an attorney she specializes in helping abused elderly people. Elder abuse, they call it. They're going to be on the first hour. The second hour, we're going to have Sister Monica on. In the third hour, God willing, all this is God willing, of course, we'll have Sam Dixon in. Rand is out working his butt off today. Gene is off doing a project with he's in the Confederate history and stuff like that. And Sister Nancy's off. So it's just me and Monica is the regular staff. Anyway, with that, people, before we still got a minute or so before we go to our first commercial, we're going to bring Fred in, and we're going to let Fred, if he will, to introduce his fiancée in a minute because she's an attorney. She's worked with Fred. And but right before we go to their first break, we'll introduce the audience to our listeners, to our family, what we're going to do. Well, hey, Fred, I want to thank you, buddy, for coming in today. I really do, because I know a lot of people wouldn't want to do that on Easter. So how are you doing, brother?
I'm doing very well, Eddie, and I thank you for asking me.
I cut it short. We're going to go to our first break. I cut it just a little bit short. I wasn't watching the clock like you should have. So hold on to that thought. I'll reintroduce you right after this first break, Fred.
During our war for Southern independence, the brilliant Confederate general Robert E. Lee foretold the decline of this country when he prophesied, if those people, referring to the dictatorial federal government, if those people win this war, the United States will become a bully abroad and a tyrant at home. As Lee predicted, it has come to pass. The principles laid out in our founding documents, our Declaration of Independence, and the individual rights protected in our Constitution have been vilified and discarded. But not everyone has surrendered. Blood River Radio brings you highly respected, intelligent guests not afraid to speak the truth when the truth in America today is censored and attacked. Your contributions keep us on the air in order to fight against the bullies abroad and the tyrants at home. Send your war contributions to Blood River Radio, P.O. Box 34636, Bartlett, Tennessee 38184. That address is on our website, www.bloodriverradio.com. Don't let the bullies and the tyrants win.
America stands at a crossroads. This April 17th in Las Vegas, the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association unveils a blueprint for hope at the Ahern Luxury Hotel. Join us alongside luminaries like General Flynn and Sheriff Richard Mack from 8:30 a.m. to 9 p.m. Discover a peaceful revolution to safeguard our constitutional republic. Seats are limited. Register now for just $49. Visit cspoa.org today. The time to act is now. cspoa.org.
Introducing Managed IT Services from NPI. We offer top-notch data backup and recovery, email spam protection, and network security tailored to your needs and budget. With 20-plus years of experience in the medical field, our HIPAA-certified consultants know what it takes to protect sensitive information. Don't settle for less. Give us a call at 801-706-6980 and experience the difference with Managed IT Services. Remember, your IT support should be fast, efficient, and reliable.
Excuse me, Captain. I know this may sound silly, but can you fly?
Nope. Never had a lesson.
Yes, indeed, you have to say something. Dear Blood River Radio family, thank you so much for hanging on. And I cut Fred a little bit short. I can't see the clock. I need to right now. My other computer's down. But I can get pretty close in my head. Anyway, Fred, if you will, come on, buddy. Can we start, come and do a restart? I think my grandson, who's in golf, what do they call it, a mulligan or something like that. Anyway, go ahead. Tell us a little bit about, give us a little bit about your background as being, well, you know, it would take 3 weeks to talk about all your background. Your background. Tell them a little bit about your background for the people that are just coming on, your expertise and what you're expert at, about how you have your own, used to have your own engineering firm before the Chosen Ice got a hold of you. But go ahead, give them a bow, Fred, if you don't mind, brother. And then we'll bring Mona in.
Okay. Yeah, I'm a retired engineer. I started working with navigational equipment, photographic equipment. And we supplied mostly the Navy and the Air Force. We worked with a lot of the major companies. Hold on a second.
Okay.
Yeah, I just want to disconnect that other speaker.
Okay.
So, okay.
I think we're still getting some noise, Fred.
Yeah, I can hear that.
Okay, good deal.
Okay.
Good deal. Okay, Fred, I think everything's cool. This stuff happens in radio, especially with Blood River. We fly by the seat of our pants. When I was new, I would go to pieces like that. Nothing would check me now. You know what? I think an airplane could crash through the ceiling. I'd say, hey, Lizzie, did that? Hope I didn't cut our Ethernet cord. But anyway, go ahead, Fred.
Right. At any rate, I started working mostly with the government on navigational and photographic hardware, and then later I because of my father having worked for the Department of Correction in Massachusetts, I was contacted by the steward who they had just passed a new law for revitalizing the electric chair in Massachusetts, and I was contacted about looking at it and determining what had to be done with it. So I became an expert on all forms of execution. I've worked with lethal injection machines, gas chambers, hanging, and I've written manuals and built equipment for all these procedures. Because of that, I was sent by Ernst Rundle's defense team to Auschwitz in Poland to examine the alleged gas chambers and determine whether they weren't gas chambers. And as you know, I wrote the well-known Lucha report, and
yes.
A Lucha report, if you will, and that just about ended the Holocaust because it totally destroyed the myth. Because this was the first time any expert had ever looked at these facilities. And I am the only expert. There are no other experts. And I am, like the Pope, I speak ex cathedra on execution equipment and procedures. So I have no counterpart or peers. Now, I thank you again for having us on. And I wanted to mention the fact that we also have Mona Montgomery, who's an attorney from California. She's working here in Massachusetts with me now. Mona is my fiancée, and we're working here in Massachusetts because they're trying to take my house away because I'm one of these elderly people that apparently shouldn't be allowed to own a house. But at any rate, Mona is a specialist in litigation dealing with elderly persons. And if you can hear me, Mona, speak up and say hello to everyone.
I can hear you, and hello to everyone. It's really great to be able to be here with Fred as he tells you how exciting it was for him to bust the myth of the Holohoax all by himself.
Yes, yes. You know, and briefly, I'll backtrack briefly. You know, Fred said that he was selected by the Ernst Zundel's defense team. Just briefly, Ernst Zundel was on trial in Canada. I'm letting our new people know what was going on for disputing some facts of the Holocaust. And so people, since everybody knows that the Holocaust is true, 100% true, they have to make law, they being the governments of the world, Canada, especially Canada, especially Germany, and probably coming to here to a town near us in the United States, they have to make laws forbidding you to doubt Even certain aspects of the so-called Holocaust, if you know, that can get you in prison. I mean, so anyway, I'm giving them a brief little snippet on who Ernst Zundel was. Ernst Zundel was a Canadian citizen. He was on trial. He was living in Canada. He was on trial for, I believe, what it was. He was passing out these little pamphlets saying, "Did 6 million really die?" Well, the defense attorney. They hired probably the revisionist historian in the world on the Holocaust was Robert Faurisson in France, and he individually, keep in mind this is the man in the whole world on Holocaust revisionism. He handpicked Fred Leutcher, the man who's on our program, and like Fred Leutcher said, I know he didn't want to sound like too arrogant or anything, but the man is—he's smart as hell. He took a whole team over to Europe and to investigate that for the so-called death camps of Auschwitz and Treblinka and Dachau. I just want to let them know who you were on the defense. You were a witness for the defense and why he was in so much trouble, Fred. But anyway, continue on. Also, Miss Mona was telling me today about a case that's directly connected with you and your expertise, Fred, that happened recently. Matter of fact, in the state of Alabama. So anyway, if we will bring... And we can talk more about the Holocaust and later and what went on, how it was totally disproved by Fred Leutcher's team. By the way, Fred, do you like – is your name properly – is it Leutcher or Leuchter?
If you're a German or you speak German, my name is Leuchter. Oh. If you speak English, my name is Leutcher.
Okay. That's – I just want to clear that up. Well, anyway, we have Miss Mona Montgomery. Isn't that right? She's your fiancée. She's an attorney. Miss Mona, give us a little for people that haven't listened to you before, new people who have tuned into Blood River. We've had you on with us before. But for the new people coming in, tell us a little about you. Give us a little bit about your background.
Okay, well, I'm an elderly physician, which means I try to help elderly people who are being targeted. Generally speaking, it's their heirs, their family members don't want them to die without making sure they get the money. So in order to do that, they have to incarcerate them so that dad won't be able to sign a new will. So they basically incarcerate them in one of these nursing homes, and then I come along if they can get in touch with me, and I get them out of those nursing homes and get those conservatorships undone. But in Fred's case, it was a little bit different. I didn't know he was going to be abused by the city of Malden, which he is, terribly. And we've been working on that case, I would say, nonstop, every waking moment for the last year and a half, because they landed on him with a condemnation notice and 6 backdated tickets the same day he refused to sign a document they wanted him to sign that would allow them to loan him money that he didn't want to borrow. And when he refused, we're calling this coercion, and it is really black hand kind of stuff where they force you to take out a loan. And then when you look at the loan documents, they pretty much own you. And if you make any mistakes, and here we're talking about people in the dying years of their life, and they're expected to do professional accountings and keep their lawns immaculate and keep their houses up with code. And if they fail in any one of these, about 20 or 30 of these terms that he never knew he was going to be subjected to, they take your house. And then they say, but you can still live there, but you have to pay market value for rent, which in Malden would be, Fred would have to come up with about $3,000 a month. And if you don't pay the rent, then we're going to kick you out in the streets, which is what they're trying to do to Fred. So we've been fighting the case valiantly. And let's see, what was I trying to say? Oh, yeah, the reason I got interested in Fred's case is because I heard a radio announcer saying what a bad man Fred Leutcher was because he had gotten in trouble with his reverse mortgage company. And I also almost got in trouble with a reverse mortgage company, but I was smart enough not to sign the document. These reverse mortgage companies are just as bad as the city of Malden. If you fail to do any of these 100 terms, they foreclose on you without judicial proceedings. So I called him up and said, don't worry, everybody's on your side. We all know that you're not a bad man. And we made friends. And then about 6 months later, the city of Malden condemned Fred's property, like I said, because he didn't sign the loan document. So I guess, you know, that's plenty about me to give you an idea of who I am.
Well, you know, we could use you in Memphis because... I've noticed, not so much the last several weeks, but off and on for the last several years, it's a fairly common sight to be cruising through Memphis in fairly nice areas, not rich areas, but nice middle-class working-class homes. And you'll see furniture out on the side of the road. And what happens, these older people that have been retired that used to work for, like, International Harvester. International Harvester was a huge company. I worked for them one time when I was new, when I hadn't been out of the Army too long. I worked out there as a foundry for a while. But anyway, people, I'll hear the music, get ready to go to a break, and we're getting ready to get into more of the meat of this as soon as we come back from this last break. Be right back, folks.
listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA News, I'm Laura Winters.
We are going to rise to meet this moment because we are Maryland tough and because we are Baltimore strong.
You're listening to Maryland Governor Democrat Wes Moore on the latest on the Baltimore Bridge collapse. The White House says that President Biden will be visiting the site next week. The Navy busy bringing in big cranes on barges to assist workers in lifting the remains of the mangled bridge from the water.
The big part and one of the challenges is that the key bridge, which sits on top of the vessel right now, that weight is somewhere between 3,000 and 4,000 tons.
Prayers in Hebrew at the funeral service for former Senator Joe Lieberman in his hometown of Stamford, Connecticut. Lieberman, the first Jewish vice presidential candidate back in 2000, on the ticket with Al Gore, the former vice president, at the service Friday.
We laughed together, fought like hell together for what we wanted our country to be, prayed together. Thought for a season we had won together, but, and, well, you know that part of the story. You win some, you lose some, and then there's that little-known third category.
Lieberman passing away from complications after falling. He was 82 years old. In USA News for your health, the CDC reporting the first human case of swine flu in the U.S. this year. Doctors think a child in Pennsylvania caught the virus after being in contact with pigs. Occasionally, this infection can jump to humans. And airports across the country very busy this Easter weekend with lots of families traveling not only for the holiday, but for spring break. And I'm Laura Winters, USA News.
Omaha Steaks is rewriting the book on burgers with an all-new handmade texture for the juiciest home-style burgers you've ever tasted. Their pure-ground burgers are made from single cuts of real, aged Omaha steaks. These are truly steaks on a bun. Filet mignon, ribeye, New York strip, sirloin, and even brisket burgers. Now is the time to experience the exclusive Burger Perfection Flight for just $79.99. Go to omahasteaks.com and use promo code TREAT at checkout to get an extra $20 off your order plus free shipping. You'll get four of each pure ground burger so you can sample all the steak on a bun greatness. These burgers are crafted for a juicier, more tender experience, making your mouth water with every single bite. Don't wait. Go to omahasteaks.com. Use promo code TREAT at checkout and get $20 off the Burger Perfection Flight and discover your new burger obsession. Minimum order may be required.
This is Michael Hill, Chief of the League of the South. I listen to Blood River Radio, and you should too. In fact, you should be telling your friends, your family, and your associates to listen to Eddie Miller and the good folks at Blood River Radio. They stand resolutely for the preservation of white civilization, what we once called Christendom, and they stand against the ongoing campaign of white genocide. In these trying and uncertain times, it's more important than ever to speak and act in defense of our God, our people, and our civilization. Blood River Radio speaks the truth and speaks it boldly. I've been on this show many times as a guest, and I'm very proud of my association with you. May our just cause prevail. Hail victory.
Introducing PrepStartsNow.com, your ultimate guide to readiness and peace of mind. We offer practical preparedness tools, training, and education to take your family's household readiness to the next level. Browse the prep shop for essential products, check out our planning guides, and stay informed with our prep blog. Visit PrepStartsNow.com and subscribe to our emails for exclusive offers, new products, and future events. Remember, preparedness begins with PrepStartsNow.com.
Former Sheriff Richard Mack recounts in his book, The Proper Role of Law Enforcement, how he came to realize while working as a beat cop how wrong the all-too-common orientation of police officers is when they think of their job as being to write tickets and arrest people. Richard Mack tells of his personal transformation from by-the-number cop to constitution-conscious defender of citizen safety and freedoms. Learn what it really means to serve and protect. Purchase your copy at CSPOA.org. That's CSPOA.org.
What we've got here is failure to communicate. Some men you just can't reach.
You're the Blood River Radio. Thank you so much for hanging out. And we're going to go right back to Fred. Wait, hang on a second. Here's what we do. We're going to go to Mona because Mona wants to talk about, she's got several things she wants to talk about before we run out of time. And there's one case. Well, I'll let her talk about it. Miss Mona, tell the listeners, the Blood River Radio family, about this case where a man was executed in Alabama that you're telling me about. And it has an indirect relation to Fred. So go ahead, Miss Mona.
He was executed twice.
Damn.
That's right. He was actually executed once 2 years ago. They tried lethal injection, and they botched it. It took 2 hours to kill him, and it was very, very painful. He didn't die. That's right. He survived it. And so then they said, okay, we still have to execute you. So he said, okay, well, don't use lethal injection. Use anything else. So they said, okay, well, how about this nitrogen thing that we've never tried? Is that okay with you? He said, anything but not the lethal injection. I don't want to be tortured for another 2 hours. So then Fred said, no, they cannot do that. Nitrogen is going to torture him because they're foolishly thinking that because the airplane pilots in the war testified that they went to sleep happily and comfortably when they were deprived of oxygen. Fred said, it doesn't matter. It's not going to be true when you're on planet Earth. That 20,000 feet makes a big difference. You're going to be tortured to death, just like as if you were underneath in the ocean where there's more pressure. And these guys with the vents, which is terrible, terribly painful experience, and they have to bring them up very slowly and you put them in pressurized things and things like that. And Fred said, you're going to be torturing these guys. They're going to get the bends. You have to go 20,000 feet up there if you want to use this kind of an execution. And remember, Fred is an expert in all forms of execution. So he knows everything about all the kinds of execution, and they just wouldn't listen to him. It turns out even the United Nations was telling the governor, you can't do this. And the former governor was saying, you can't do this. Well, they did it, and they tortured him, and he was writhing in agony from between 2 and 4 minutes.
God.
And then this stupid governor gets up and says what a wonderful job they did. He said that the thing went exactly as we wanted, and he died the way he chose to die, and we're just real happy about the way it happened. Fortunately, there's been further investigations, and the witnesses are coming out, and all these experts are coming out and saying that this was a horrible thing. So we yet have to see if we're going to put an end to this nitrogen form of execution. But the main point I was going to make is that Fred was right. They shouldn't have done it, and they should have listened to him, and they didn't, and they tortured this guy.
You know what? It looks to me like that if you gave the guy the lethal injection and you're going to execute him, and you did it, you went through the whole schmo. We used to call it the gas chamber or the electric chair when I was a kid. But if you did that and he survived, I mean, you call me superstitious, but I would be thinking, God saved that man. He must not be guilty. If nothing else, I would be afraid of that. I mean, Lord, to do it again? I mean, I'm no – anybody knows me can tell you I'm no bleeding heart. But, my God, I think that's too much.
Yeah, it's too much, and it's they should have listened to Fred.
Well, the reason I'm glad you brought that in because that ties in directly to Fred's expertise, if they'd only listen to him. And I know for the people that haven't listened to our program before, there was another case I remember Fred talking about in Florida that where the state of Florida was going to execute the man into what we call an electric chair. And they set the man's hair on fire. They didn't listen to Fred. They did it. They didn't do it like they were supposed to do it. They used faulty sponges, I think Fred said. And his damn hair caught on fire. But that's just so pathetic that they shouldn't have listened to you, Fred. Well, Fred, would you like to talk about where would you like to go from here? I've got lots of stuff, but we could, you know, the Holocaust being the linchpin lie, and it might seem like a strange thing to talk about on Easter, but I think it in my own warped way of thinking about it, unorthodox way of thinking, I think we could tie it into that. But Fred, you know, when you came back, we're going back a little bit. When you went over to Europe to these death camps, the so-called death camps, about just for the people who haven't listened before and to refresh the memories of people like me and our listening audience, our listening family, about how long were you over there in Europe? And give the people a brief summary of the so-called death camps that you visited, if you don't mind, sir.
We were there almost 2 weeks, and we were at Auschwitz. We were at Auschwitz II, which is also known as Birkenau, and then we crossed the state to the area of Lublin, and we went to Majdanek. And the funny thing is, when we got there, I went with Ernst Lundl sent us with some people who had been there before, knew the area. We had a Polish gentleman who translated into English. And we were in the so-called gas chamber at Auschwitz, and they brought me in, and they said, "Here we are," and I said, "Here we are what?" And I said, "Here we are what?" He said, "Well, this is the gas chamber," and I said, "This is no gas chamber. This is Joe. take me to the real gas chamber." And he said to me, "This is the gas chamber. See the sign?" I looked at the sign. I said, "This isn't any sex." I said, "This is exactly what it's supposed to be. This is a morgue." So, the point is, it was just ridiculous to do that. I mean, gas chambers have to be sealed. If they're not sealed, people will die other than the people that are being executed. The doors were made out of wood, and they didn't fit right. They would have leaked. They had floor drains that were tied into the catch basins outside and also into the sewer system of the camp. So that meant that if you were gassing somebody in there, poison gas were to come up in the middle of the streets in a prison camp. The poison gas would have bubbled up in the commandant's toilet. I mean, that's just plain ridiculous. I mean, this thing could not have been used as a gas chamber. And I would like to mention also, I looked at facilities at Majdanek, which were the same. We looked at Lublin, and they were the same. But the consideration here is that there's a twofold examination that I did. The first examination was as an expert. I determined that these facilities could not be used for gas execution chambers. I couldn't even turn them into it. I would have had to tear the buildings down and start from scratch. And then the second thing is, it was a twofold investigation. I collected samples, which were taken back to an independent laboratory and examined, and the samples showed that these areas, the alleged gas chambers, were never had any hydrogen cyanide gas in them. And we compared this to a control sample where they did the delousing. But the problem here, or the situation here, is that most people think that I took these samples and that proved that they weren't gas execution chambers. And the investigation was two parts. The testing of the samples was just icing on the cake for Ernst Lundl. The real thrust of the investigation was that the facilities I examined couldn't be used as gas execution facilities. They couldn't be used as gas chambers. They couldn't be used to kill people. And that was the most important. The fact that I took samples was only something extra that corroborated what I said. Not only couldn't they have been used, they weren't used because here's the chemical tests. So, and most people think that that the only thing I did there was I took the chemical test, and the whole major examination was to have an expert who knew how to build gas execution chambers would come in and say, this couldn't have worked. It wouldn't have worked. I would have had to tear the whole place down and start over it. So, yeah. One of the things is that, you know, the people who started this rumor and the people who developed it into something, and they tried to prove that it was a gas execution chamber, they use the same information that we have in the United States for executing with gas. The thing that they throw into my face, or they used to throw into my face, was it takes...
Hey, Fred, we have to go to our last break of the first hour. We'll come right back to you as soon as we get through, Fred. Hold on, okay. Brother.
America stands at a crossroads. This April 17th in Las Vegas, the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association unveils a blueprint for hope at the Ahern Luxury Hotel. Join us alongside luminaries like General Flynn and Sheriff Richard Mack from 8:30 a.m. to 9 p.m. Discover a peaceful revolution to safeguard our constitutional republic. Seats are limited. Register now for just $49. Visit CSPOA.org today. The time to act is now. CSPOA.org.
Do you know what is great about America? Ask an Immigrant. Ask an Immigrant is a new podcast dedicated to helping Americans, especially our youth, value, appreciate, and be grateful for the freedoms we have here in America. Join host Lydia Wallace Nuttall as she interviews immigrants from around the world to discover their inspiring personal stories about why they came to America. To learn more about why America is the most prosperous, greatest country in the world, download the Loving Liberty app or go to lovingliberty.net.
I'm Pastor Everett Ramsey, pastor of Faith Baptist Church, a congregation of God's covenant people. Informed Christians know that we are at the brink of a long-planned one-world government being executed that will not tolerate true Christian faith. There is a way to stop it. Our church has used God's spiritual weapons of warfare many times over the years, and in every case that was properly executed, the Church of Jesus Christ has been delivered. It is called the Court of Divine Justice. David used it many times. Read Psalm 37, Psalm 109. It includes truthful information, repentance, and imprecatory prayers. Blood River Radio is the only radio station I know that supports action based on truth about lies concerning the Confederacy, the Civil Rights Movement, the German people, the true Holocaust, and who the true covenant people of God are, and the sins and failures of the churches, if any of these. This means anything to you, and it should, then please say so with your money, as well as prayers. You may obtain information from us about the Courts of Divine Justice by sending your offering and request to Blood River Radio, and we take none of the money.
I'll tell you one thing that every good soldier knows. The only thing that counts in the end is power. Naked, merciless force!
Dear Blood River Radio, the next time we bring Fred and Mona on, we'll probably have to go for 2 hours because I think what's happened, I've tried to cover too much in too short a time. So next time we'll have to allow at least an hour and a half, maybe 2 hours. So what we'll do, I wanted to talk about, but I'm not going to have time to go through the great, like a massive amount of work that Fred and he took a whole team over there, a whole friggin' team. They were there 2 weeks with, shovels and drills and doing all kinds of chemical tests of bringing back soil samples, wall samples, ceiling samples, basement samples, aerial photographs. They did all kinds of stuff like that, and it came back. They totally disproved the so-called Holocaust. All right, we'll talk about that hopefully the next time we get Fred on because we need to talk about that. Often, as we get new readers, new listeners, and I got to hurry up. And to quote Monica Schaefer, and she's right, the Holocaust lie is the greatest lie in our lifetime. Probably for the last, it could be the greatest lie ever. It's probably a lie that's done more damage to humanity, specifically to whites, and even more specifically white Christians, than any other lie in history. It's bankrupting nations like, for instance, Germany. Germany is to this day paying reparations for the friggin' Holocaust. So, what I'm getting to with this story is, if the Holocaust was so true, if it was so self-evident that we can't talk about it, and that's paraphrasing what these judges say, that when you come into court, when they drag you into court, and they prosecute you, they persecute you for Holocaust denial, for disputing the official state stance on the Holocaust, and they persecute you, and they give you jail time for bringing in evidence. And when the judges say the truth doesn't matter, facts don't matter, folks, we're going to talk about a person, some of the people who've gotten in trouble for like we were talking about Ernst Sundell. Many people have gone to jail. They had their lives ruined. They've been killed for disputing the Holocaust and for coming up facts. And then Miss Mona is going to start off with one of the latest people that she wants to talk about. And that's why we will talk about this. If it's so damn true, why are the establishment, why are the Jews so petrified that people are going to bring this stuff called facts on board? Go ahead, Miss Mona.
Well, you are saying exactly what Trump's lawyer, Stephen Dow, said last Friday when he was defending Trump against charges of not denying the Holocaust but denying the elections. And Sadow said, you can't pass a law against speech. Even deceitful speech, even incorrect speech, adds to the discourse of the subject. And by passing this law, by trying to get Trump on interfering with the elections because he made statements to the effect that the elections had been were done wrong, they were in effect making speech illegal. And that's Trump's defense. And he said, Sadow said, you can't make speech illegal, it's especially political speech like what Trump was saying. Of course, you probably agree, and probably your listeners agree with me, that the elections were done wrong. And so we don't even think that what Trump said was a lie. But even if it was a lie, Sadow says, it should be allowed because it's even a lie is valuable in a discourse of conversation about a certain subject. It gives you an opportunity to defeat the lie with, as he said, the truth. He said that the way to defeat a lie is not by making it illegal to say the lie, it's to bring forward the truth. That's how you get rid of a lie. So, of course, we know that the Holocaust is a big fat lie and that denying the Holocaust is not a lie, but they're saying it is a lie and therefore you can't say it, which is their way of making it illegal to say a lie. In their eyes, it's a lie. And they're saying because it's a lie, you're not allowed to say it. And like Sadow said, you can't make it illegal to tell a lie. Now, as far as the political prisoners, one of the more poignant stories is a 93-year-old lady, a German lady, who was sentenced to 12 months in prison for denying the Holocaust. She denied that Jews were systematically murdered during the Holocaust. She said that the death camps were not death camps, they were work camps. And they are rejecting her appeal because, as they say, neo-Nazi Ursula Haverbeck, 93 years old, is showing no remorse or signs of changing her views during the appeal hearings. So they denied the appeal because she showed no remorse for standing up for her beliefs. So we're right back to that time in history when people were persecuted for not believing that Jesus rose physically into heaven or that different miracles took place. They were torturing you until you changed your mind. And if you didn't change your mind, they killed you. And that's what they're doing now. So that's what we're looking at, a suppression of opinion, if not the truth. And, of course, I think, as David Miller said, we know it's the truth, and you wouldn't have to pass laws against it if it were a lie. really comes in to be telling the truth if you don't want that truth to be heard.
You know, that is, you just really laid it out crystal clear. I know this may be an oversimplification. Like you said, the best way to prove something is a lie is to let the people, let the liar go ahead and speak and tell the lie. And it's the easiest thing in the world to defeat that lie. Some lies may be harder to defeat, but I'll just give you an simplified example. This came to mind. I could tell people, have my medal. Matter of fact, when I was in New York, this, believe it or not, this has to do with this lie. When I got through running my last marathon, the New York people, my NYRR, they paid to have our medals engraved. And when I got over to, we had to go across the city to get to where they were doing engraved your name, your time, and what year. I said, I was looking at my time, and the lady said, "Oh, we can just put any time down here you want to." Well, I could have said, "Okay, yeah, well, I did it in 2:35. And I could come back and tell everybody in the city here that I ran that marathon in 2 hours, 35 minutes. And they could say, "Well, let's prove it. Let's go ahead and see what you can do a half marathon in." So when it comes time for me to go out there and prove it, when I was 20 years old, I couldn't come close to a 2:35. Not very, very few people can, but that's kind of an aside. That's all they would have to do is let the people that are lying go out there and get out way out on the limb and come out with the truth. But so it, and the reason I'm saying this for people to come in here, especially people just listening, it would be so easy to dispel the lie, but they won't do it. So instead, they're so desperate they try to outlaw the whole damn thing. Ah, Fred, back to you, Fred.
Okay. That's so very true. And without the ability of having free speech, we don't necessarily get all sides heard, because everybody knows what the expression playing the devil's advocate means. It means
yes.
you take a position that you don't agree with, but you're taking it to have people fight with you and have the truth come out.
Yes,
and
yes.
If you express free speech, you won't get a devil's advocate. Because you'll put him in prison. You'll do the same thing to him that they did to Ursula, and it's ridiculous. So, yes, free speech is very important, and that's why our founding fathers made it the first article, first amendment to the Constitution. They went back and they said there were some things we left out. We shouldn't have to do this, but we have to do it because we have people that want to interfere with our lives and our government. And that's what they did. So that's why that was tantamount. That was the most important. And, of course, Second Amendment.
Yes, you're right.
Second Amendment was the second most important, because without the Second Amendment, you can't enforce the First Amendment.
True. That's right. You know, and the way this country, the laws, we're supposed to have, Blackstone's commentaries on the laws of England, and our laws, our legal system was supposed to be based on Blackstone's. The founding fathers came over here, were followers of Blackstone's. He's one of the most famous people in British jurisprudence. And that's the reason you have a trial. Especially the United States and Canada, supposed to be free countries. When you have a trial, you have a prosecuting a team that prosecutes and says this man's guilty. You have another side who's the defense attorney. No, he's innocent. And both sides present all the evidence they can lay their hands on. And that's like what they've got the court system now is the defense attorney. If you try to bring in real evidence, well, you're going to go to jail. And the attorney in Germany, Sylvia Stoltz, she was defending. I don't know if she's defending money. She went to friggin' jail because he brought in facts, and the judge told her, "Well, I know this is true. I know the facts are true, but that doesn't matter. You violated law. You can't bring in facts." People, we run completely out of time the first hour. We have to bring Fred back again before too long on a regular basis, because this is, I can't think of a more important topic to cover. Monica's right. It's the linchpin lie. All other lies are hung on it. So, people, thank you so much, Fred. Thank you so much, Mona. We'll have you back soon. Dear people, we're going to transition to the second hour now, so take a little break if you have to. Be right back.